Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord, because He is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before Him and lay down our lives before Him and just lift up our hearts and thank Him. Glory to Your name, Lord God. You alone are worthy. You are King and Lord of all.
We worship You this day. Lonely, lonely. We get excited each time we come together to talk about prayer because of the results that we see and how God answers prayer. We've been talking about prayer and the New Testament prayer and the saints of old. And it's just an amazing thing that as you go through the New Testament and you see how men prayed, and it challenges us to really settle ourselves down and really think about prayer and pray, and that we never become too busy not to pray because of so many things that are happening, so many things that are going on. We should take the time every day before we get into the involvement of the day and just spend time in prayer, getting instructions and listening to the heartbeat of what God has to say about prayer. Looking at the New Testament, it becomes amazing because John 16:24, he gives us a clue as he begins to unravel this thing about prayer. And he says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. And that's John 16:24. And then Psalm 14:2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. And we begin to study the scriptures. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. And we begin to study the scriptures and look at the scriptures. If you're a person of the word and you've been trying to study and trying to renew your mind, and you see different things or you hear people say different things, and you're like the Bereans and you search the scriptures out to see if that's really in there, and it becomes an exciting journey to see what God has to say about certain things. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. We begin to see these invitations that God is giving to us to ask, to seek, to knock. And it becomes an invitation of what do you do? Will you seek? Will you knock? Will you ask? Or will you just become haphazard about it and do your own thing? But what you find is that when you begin to engage God, God begins to engage you. He begins to answer you. I was reading some quotes the other day, and this one particular fella said, great things happen or circumstantial things happen when he prays. Unexplainable things happen when he prays. And when he doesn't, they don't happen. And so many times you know yourself, if you take the time in the morning and you pray and you seek God's face and you go throughout your day and you begin to see where God is doing things, answering your prayers because of the prayers you had prayed during the day. You just begin to see the faithfulness of God. God's word says that he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. In another psalm, it says, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And I was sharing tonight, and I think so many times, it's the poverty of our own minds that rob us of the things that God has for us. Our poverty of thought, that as we renew our mind and we see that the vastness of what God has for us, if we will seek him, if we will knock, if we will lay down and pursue him with all of our hearts, he says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly before him. As you study the scriptures, you see so many incidents of where God answers his servants in such a way that it literally blesses you. You hear so many times when people talk about the prosperity gospel or something about prosperity, but when you study the scriptures, not that your heart goes after the gold or the silver, not that your heart is bent on all of those things, but when you begin to read the scriptures and you see where God blessed Abraham, you see where God blessed Job, you begin to see where God blessed his servants because they sought him. It says he delights in the prosperity of his servants. So those servants were praying. Those servants were seeking God. And they were giving him first place. And he was loading them down with benefits. The scripture says the blessings of God. He adds no sorrow. And if you're seeking God, if you're on your face and you're seeking God, and you're believing God for great things, don't be ashamed of the things that God gives to you. Don't hide those blessings that God gives to you. People have issues, and people will always have issues. But even Abimelech, he told Abraham, he said, you have to go because of the abundance of the things that you have. It's almost like provoking the Philistines. The Philistines will see the things that God is blessing you with, and he will be provoked. If you remember the story of Isaac, it said Isaac in the year, Isaac was a man after God's heart. He prayed and sought the Lord, and God blessed him. And each time he dug a well because of the Philistines, they were jealous. They covered that well up. So when you pray and God answers, when you seek God's face and God begins to bless you exceedingly and abundant and above all that you can expect or think, know that people will be jealous. Know that people will be upset. But if you study your scriptures and you see where God blessed Job, God blessed Abraham, God blessed David, God blessed Solomon, and you can go on and on and on and on, and you see how God, God in his word says that he gives power to get wealth. And if he can teach our hands to war, and if he can teach us how to multiply the coins that we have, irregardless, people will be upset and jealous. But know who has blessed you. Know where your wealth has come from. And know that as you continue to seek the Lord, as you continue to pray, no good thing will he withhold from you. Never, ever, never be ashamed of the things that God has done for you. God says he gives us the wealth so that we can further the work of the kingdom. When we have the wealth, it's not just for us four and no more, but God gives us that wealth to expand the kingdom. And I think that once we get that understanding, the money will not keep slipping through our hands. We will not continue to see the holes in our pockets because God will plug the holes up. I love it. In another psalm, it says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. That's the Lord speaking. And he's inviting us to search for him, to carve out that time that we will dive into his word, and we will engage other believers and thrash it out and learn to know who he is and what his purpose is for us so that we can advance the kingdom. We go on and we see where it says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's Psalm 16:11. And then you see, draw me, we will run after thee. That's Solomon, Song of Solomon's 1:4. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. God wants to shower us. God wants to bless us with his blessings. God wants to give us the good gifts, the perfect gifts, the things that we delight ourselves in. He delights in giving it to us. But it's as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. And we must keep seeking him and seeking his face. And I'll say it again, when we begin to see those blessings coming in and God blessing us, don't be ashamed of what God has done and is doing in your life. God is our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And as he pours out his blessings on you, as he gives you the things your heart desires, don't be ashamed. He says, come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. We see this, and we have to obey God's word. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we only have a few minutes, and we will go to our recording. We'll be live for the next couple of minutes. But we see that 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. God wants to heal our land. God wants to do exceeding and abundant and above all that we could expect or think. But it's where we have to put our anchor down and make up our minds that we're going to seek the Lord, and we're going to seek him with all of our hearts, because we know that as long as the men of God of old sought the Lord, he caused them to prosper. He caused them. Psalm 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. And then we see in 3 John 2, it says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I think when we get rid of that poverty mentality, we will begin to see things prosper around us. But as long as we have poor thoughts, we will think poor. We will not see that God wants to bless our hands, because he says the hands of the diligent shall rule. If Isaac can sow in a year of famine and receive back from God a hundredfold, how much more? How much more if we seek him? And it's not for just the wealth. It's not just for that. But it's as we obey him, God blesses us so that we can advance his kingdom. And how can we bless the poor if we have nothing to give to the poor? We can't. We can't. But if God gives us power to get wealth, as we pray, as we seek his face, as we make up in our minds to do those things that are pleasing in his sight, and he blesses us, let's be a blessing to others. Let's take a portion of that which he's given to us, and we can feed the poor. We can clothe the naked. But if we are poor and we remain poor, how can we be a blessing? Let's get rid of the poverty mentality and give God the glory. I know we only have a couple of more minutes, and we will be back again tomorrow night. And we will continue this conversation, because I think prayer without action is useless. If we pray and then we get up, we can put feet to our prayers. We can go out and we can feed those that are hungry. We can clothe those that are naked. But until we get rid of our mentality of poverty, we can help no one. We'll be right back, and we will continue this conversation as we record the conversation. God bless.
Mm.
let's just prepare our hearts to worship the Lord. Because He is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. That we can come before Him and lay down our lives before Him and just lift up our hearts and thank Him. Glory to Your name, Lord God. You alone are worthy. You are King and Lord of all.
About prayer, I'd like to give a shout out to the caller from looks like Arkansas. Call us again. Call us tomorrow night. We'll be back on the air live at 11 o'clock, and we would love to engage in a conversation with you as we continue to talk about prayer and prosperity. Prosperity is a gift from God, as we were saying before we went on a break. Prosperity is a gift from God. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it." Ecclesiastes 5:19 says, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor." This is the gift of God. And I do. I see so many of my friends who, when we talk about prosperity or we talk about different things, many don't like to talk about how God has blessed someone else, you know. And if that's how God has blessed, I mean, I look at it sometimes and I think to myself, they would have real issues if Job. If Abraham, even if the modern day Christians, Job, it says, had 7,000 cattle. That's a very wealthy man. It says Abraham had cattle and he had servants. So that tells me that if the Old Testament was written for our example, people would have real issues if they saw the modern day Job or they saw the modern day Abraham. Because God has given them power to get wealth and he's blessed them, then they will have some serious issues. But if we look at the scriptures, the thing that God is so awesome because he tells us, he says, if your riches increases, don't set your heart on them. And I believe that God gives a platform and God gives wealth to those who don't set their hearts on the platform. They don't set their hearts on the riches. They know the proper place for those things. And so God can trust them, you know. And then you begin to look at so many people who are complaining about the prosperity of the saints. And you think of Judas. Judas had an issue. Judas had an issue because Judas' heart was in the pocket. You know, and so many times those who have the issue, their own heart is in the pocket or chasing the gold. Where God has proven, he has tested, and he has given the platform to those that he can trust with that platform. You know, but he with balance, there's balance with everything our Lord does. He says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Come on now. God is faithful. I love it. And then he goes on, he says, lo, this is that man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. That's from the Psalms, Psalm 52:7. And we see those who put their trust in riches, those who put their hearts in riches and don't realize that it was God literally who was giving them the riches. I love it what God says in Hosea. That becomes amazing. I love, I'm trying to find it right now, where God says in Hosea, he said he gave Israel all these things. He gave them the honey in season. He gave them the wine in season. He gave them the silver and the gold. He said, but they took the silver and the gold and they made idols of it. So when we take the silver and the gold he gives to us and we make idols and we don't acknowledge and say that it comes from him, he says it plainly. The silver is his. The gold is his. The cattle upon a thousand hills belong to him. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it becomes such a travesty to see that. Think of how many more people we could help. If you are poor, I'm poor. I have nothing at the end of the month. You have nothing at the end of the month or the end of the week. Who can we help? Who can we be a blessing to? But if we trust God to do what he promises that he would do, then possibly he can trust us with his silver and his gold to be a blessing to others. Oh, I love it. Hosea, you know, he was quite frank. You know, he said, God sent them. God sent them the silver. He sent them the gold. He gave them the wine. But they didn't acknowledge him. They took it and they made idols out of it. You know, they took it and they pretended that their own hands got them the wealth. No, not at all. When God has given us the power to get wealth, acknowledge him. Don't set our hearts to it. Don't set our minds to it and begin to think that we have gotten this wealth. Or as some people say, they're self-made men or they're self-made women. Not at all. If you're self-made, you'll be unmade. But when you trust God, and that's a lesson that we all have to learn. I love Matthew 6:30, and when he's taking you from one level to the next level, to trust him to dress you, to trust him to feed you, to trust him to take care of those needs in your household where you don't have to be worried about it, where you don't have to fret about it. Trust him. Matthew 6:30 and through 33 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I think it behooves us when we sit down and we begin to think, if this is evading me, why is it? What am I doing incorrectly that you're living from paycheck to paycheck, that you don't see the blessings of God, that you don't see things turning around? Begin to really cry out and ask God, what is it? Why are there holes in my pocket? Why is it that I am not prospering? If God says, come and let's reason together, surely you can go to the table and sit down and reason with him and ask him the questions, and I'm sure he will give us the answers. Nothing's too hard for God. But I don't think God wants us to continue physically in poverty and also mentally have an impoverished or poverty-stricken mind that all we see and think of is that this is the way God wants me to be. I don't think so. I really, really don't. And when I look at the scriptures and I see where Solomon, and it talks about how he was arrayed and how his servants were arrayed and how he took care of them, and you read Proverbs and it talks about the woman of excellence and how she has purple and she has gold embroidery and all these different things. No, we don't set our hearts to it, but it gives us a standard that God is a God of standard. And if we see the temple, what the temple was laden with, we begin to see there's a balance to all of this. God takes delight in the prosperity of his servants. And if God has given us the power to get wealth, give him the glory. Use it to build his kingdom. Use it to extend his kingdom. Use it to buy someone a meal. But do something. We look at another scripture, and it says that God wants, it said God wants your needs to be met abundantly, but in order to have true riches, the motive of your heart must be to bless others. And that's what we've been saying, and to establish God's covenant. Two simple things. Our motives must be to be a blessing to others. If God gives us the wealth, if he gives you houses, what good? You can't live but in one house. But if you can bless someone else, if you have 10 cars and you can bless someone else, I think that's where the advancement of the kingdom comes in at, is when we see a need and we meet it. It's when we see that we can make someone's life better. We can pray 24/7, but if we don't do anything, put our prayers into action when we get up. Our prayers are useless, but it becomes and it empowers us that when we take the time to pray, take the time to seek God's face, we go outside our door and God opens our eyes and we see the poverty or we see the need, that he doesn't have to knock us down almost to do his bidding, because we're his hands, we're his feet, we're his voice. He said we're to be a voice for those who have no voice, and we're to be hands for those who have no hands. We're supposed to speak up for those who have no voice. And that means the only way that we can be effective is that God causes us to prosper. And if he causes us to prosper, we know that it's not for us, but it is to be a blessing to others. It is to establish his covenant. It is to build his kingdom. Are you ready? Are you ready to take the challenge? We will continue our study in prayer and continue looking at how God blessed those men of God that sought him, and he caused them to prosper. We will continue to look at how God's system for prosperity involves giving and receiving and seed time and harvest. And we will see that as we take God at his word and we begin to challenge ourselves to do what God is telling us to do, we will begin to see our light shining forth. We will begin to see that God keeps his promises. Let's read this scripture, and we'll be closing shortly in about a minute or two. It says Deuteronomy 28:15-18, and then 38-40. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, I command thee this day that all these curses shall come on thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kine, and the flock of thy sheep. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shall gather, but little you shall gather little in. for the lotus shall consume it. Thou shalt plant a vineyard and dress them, but thou shalt neither drink of the vine, nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, and thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine olive oil shall cast her fruit. We will continue this. There's a blessing. There is a blessing. God has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But as we obey his laws, we will see prosperity. Keep praying and keep believing God for greater things, because the greater one is in you, and he wants to bring you to God.